that you hear one to apologize for the time before, long after six, and for the change of venue. There's not a form making that we have to come out here. The first day, I'm sure, I appreciate the house is still sitting. But it's more like a refresh optional time. So it's almost done, but it's not yet formally done. But we feel we can continue. Now, last week, delegation, recall that we did not accede to your humble request to make a short presentation on the submission that you had made. But today, comrades, I will allow Eskom to make a short statement, qualifying it by saying short, before we get into the issues in the normal way. We'll start with you, comrades, with that. Let me hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the members of COPA, and ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of the board, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to redeem ourselves after the deplorable performance of the last week. And we are realizing now that we probably should have made sure that all the teams are in place to be able to come up with the correct answer. And of course, as I indicated, I had a conference with the chairperson of the board regarding this matter. And as we speak right now, chairperson, we are of the view that the biggest challenges that Eskom has is issues around procurement. And today we actually are now before you to make sure that we are able to respond to all the questions that are going to be put before us. And Chairperson, I know that we've got a very big delegation today, but we just wanted to make sure that when we leave this committee, we've provided all the answers. And again, Chairperson, we really humbly apologize for wasting the committee's time last week by not providing the answers.
All right. Let's say the taste of the pudding is in the eating. Let's get down to the conversation.
Thanks, Chef. I think that it is really encouraging. I'm going to deal with expansions. I looked at your presentation. I think there's concurrence that we have. You have 59 expansions that is going to fourth quarter. But there is a spreadsheet that I want to deal with. I'm not sure whether you do have a copy from National Treasury. The information contained in the spreadsheet, which is the same information. I'll start with the very first item that is in the spreadsheet. The first item is on the deviation, that is the deviation. I mean expansion. On access. The reason that you said that is to National Treasury. supplier which will be any integrated system. Now that is the project description, sorry. And the reason for extension is the same corporate office needs and refurbishment. Contract was 1.8, and the value for previous that is extension is not indicated. And National Treasury did not accede to your request. Now my question to that is, subsequent to that, what I did. Now the National Treasury is according to the request. Did you proceed with the project or what?
Could you check? Could we have the number?
Or maybe while still looking at it. Back to what we had last week. What I asked for from National Treasury, which is what you have, something that is not related to ESCO, per se. So, our apologies. We go through EDD. The expansions, we have agreed that even in a then for this quarter, it's 24.1 billion in quarter four. Is that correct? There are contracts that you are supposed to continue. First issue that I would want to raise is the reasons for not approving the following contracts. Hashtag 40 for maintenance and outage to repair valued at 13.6 billion.
Gentlemen, can I respond to that? Okay. that's on boiler maintenance. That's the issue, that we provide maintenance to the various power stations in terms of the boiler pressure part. National Treasury approved a one-year extension with a comment to prioritize the new bidding process. And we're actually on open tender with that contract, and the closing date will be the 21st of September. So we actually asked National Treasury for an additional 4 months, which we're in the process of asking for, so that we can get some time to evaluate that tender when it closes on the 21st of September. The National Treasury has agreed that they did extend for 1 year. We're closing the tender on the 21st, and we require some additional time. Chairperson, this contract was coming to an end. The team so actively approached this 12 months before the contract actually expired. But there was a request that we actually look and see whether we can get 30% equity from these companies because of the fact that they had contract with Eskom before. That investigation took some time to establish, and after a legal opinion came saying that there's no way we could at Eskom just demand 30% equity of these companies in terms of the work that we've given them previously. That took some time, and I think there was an underestimation of the time in terms of trying to resolve this issue. And that's one of the reasons why the first modification came about, saying asking for an additional time. The second issue why we asked for an expansion is we had far more breakdowns in the plant than was originally anticipated when this contract came through. And that is the reason why, after the second modification, we only asked for 12 months in terms of time, because we realized we're going to carry on modifying this, and we decided to go and test the market out. If you recall and you read this document, we actually started off this contract in 2008 on a closed tender to select the suppliers. There were only basically three or four of them. Now we are going to open the whole tender to the whole market to see if we can get more players. So those are the main reasons why we have two modifications. It's very difficult to estimate the number of boiler tube leaks you're going to have on the plant. I think that's where the underestimation came. So in the new contract, that's one of the lessons learned from a planning point of view, that we need to be a bit more thorough in terms of determining how much breakdowns you'll have, consider the age of your plant, and not come every time to say that we underestimated the issue. I think that's part of the learning that's come out of this exercise. And that's the explanation we gave to National Treasury as well, why.
All right.
Now I hear what you're saying, because going through your document, it is very clear that the biggest problem that you seem to have is proper payment. And thanks that you acknowledged the fact that you did not plan properly. And let's look at the second one. Hashtag 86 for security services, valued at $1 billion.
Chairperson, I will take this question. Provision of security in Eskom is a centralized service for all of the Eskom business, all our power stations, all our substations, our lines, our buildings, everywhere in South Africa. We had a contract that was established in 2015 through an open tender process. That contract was for 3 years. So it started 2015 and it was to expire December 2017. The original contract value was 206 million. The first modification that we did on the contract was actually to consolidate all the different divisions in ESCOM, because prior to that we had different divisions having different contracts. That then increased the 206 million by an additional 77 million. Then the second modification, which was approved by National Treasury, was for 25 contracts. And the reason for that modification, we actually went out on tender and we had not concluded evaluating the new tender. So at that stage already,
documents and because the numbering that I have does not correspond with the issue. Because since you give explanations, I also want to listen to you and read at the same time. I'm sure my comrades will still want to come with the issue. The first letter that was explained, unless I read what you wrote, National Treasury, I'm not convinced by that explanation. So I'm listening to this one as well. I'm trying to be convinced. So I want to make sure that I have the letter to come. But continue.
Thank you, Chairman. So the second modification then, which I say was approved by the National Treasury in March 2017, was for 25 contracts. And that modification was for 12 months. It gave us extra 12 months, and it gave us 136 million additional, which then took our modifications to 244. If you add them to the original value, that takes the contract to 451 million. However, Chair, in that modification of the 25 contracts, we made an error. There was negligence on our side, where we did not include the contracts for the Gauteng province.
We missed
the whole Gauteng province. And then we went back to National Treasury for that extra contract. And National Treasury was, of course, not happy with us having made that oversight. In fact, it was basic negligence on our side not to pick up that contract. So what we've now, so National Contract, National Treasury didn't approve the Gauteng extension. The new national contract that is out in the market has closed. We're busy evaluating the bids. We've had a massive response of 782 from the market. We initially thought that we would be able to allocate and conclude the new contract by May 2018 of this year, which was one reason that National Treasury said, if you're going to conclude a new contract in May, why do you want an extension for Gauteng? Unfortunately, we couldn't make May. We are busy evaluating. We actually think that we're going to be able to conclude it early 2019. So what we've done is to go through a mini contract just for Gauteng, with a clause that says as soon as the national contract comes into effect, that mini contract will then lapse, and then the services in Gauteng will then go to the new contract. Of course, we've taken consequent management or disciplinary action against this clear missing of attention to detail. The contract manager for this contract was taken through a disciplinary process, and she then resigned in the process of that disciplinary. Her manager also took a retirement, and the divisional executive for security division in ESCOM also recently resigned. So we have kind of cleaned up the area. We're now going to conclude on this interim contract for Gauteng, and then when the national contract will go back to the national contract.
You said when did the contract expire?
It expired in December 2017, Chair. And then, but before it expired, we went to National Treasury. They gave us an additional 12 months on the 25th. But the original contract expired in December 2017. So we still have got a time to conclude this new contract and then switch over.
I'm talking about Gauteng. Gauteng one.
Yes, sir. Gauteng contract expired in December as well. So currently we are on a month-to-month kind of arrangement until we complete this interim contract. It also expired same time. December 2017. So from January of this year, we are on a month-to-month kind of arrangement with the service providers. Chair, I must just point out as well that you understand that with ESCOM infrastructure and building and substations, it is untenable not to have any kind of security. So we had to come up with a stop measure to make sure that our assets are protected. But we're very clear that as soon as the new contract comes, we'll then switch over to the long-term contract.
Did you get concurrence from the National Treasury?
No, Chair. As I said, the short stopgap measure, we've been evaluating, will go to National Treasury. But in the meanwhile, while we don't have anything, we're still on this monthly arrangement.
On this month-to-month contract, you have this treasury concurrent?
No, Chair, we do not.
Now, why did you want to proceed without the two members from the statute?
The first thing that the security division did when that contract stopped and we had break-ins in our power stations and so on, they declared an emergency as far as security is concerned, which is also in line with the National Treasury rules. And if you...
Well, of course, allow the contract to expire, get some few people to break in, then declare emergency, then you're well covered. Let's not go there. Continue.
And you're asked to consequence management. And unfortunately, you are not telling us about the executive who was involved. And I take it that you were involved.
Okay. I was not involved. As I said, security provision in ESCOM is a centralized service. We've got a security division headed by a divisional executive. That's the executive that I say also resigned recently. So the head of security has been resigned. That's the person. I'm the end user, one of the end users, because that service is for all the divisions and for all the assets. Not in particular, Chair, but still he resigned. The details of the resignation, I don't know if the chief executive would want to explain. But he resigned, but I wouldn't say specifically in his resignation, relating to the issue. But he's not with us now.
How was the resignation?
The resignation was with specific certain investigations that we are undertaking on some of the projects that we felt needed to be investigated because of the decisions and with regard to the
issue of missing out housing was not the only issue that could have gone wrong under his watch.
Chair, no, it couldn't have been because, Chair, we picked up a number of things through the whistleblowing, which we then looked into, and there was a need for investigation, which he unfortunately resigned. But that does not necessarily mean that the investigation will come to an end. We will proceed and come up with results to make a call of whether we need to change the call towards the legal process of the
country. I'm still going to investigate the business for that situation.
We will. If it becomes difficult to investigate the resignation, but you investigate the charges that you are facing so that you make a copy. That will be done.
Well, obviously, if somebody resides from whatever position, that person will show up in the normal process. Or in ESCOM, people just reside and you accept the resignation, you have interrogated that is the resignation.
The resignations of the people, and it's been proven from time to time, but 75% of the resignations that come up in the institution talk about better opportunities outside. And they are not a perfect measure of ascertaining why people resign, especially if they're investigation. The first thing that we need to do is to go deeper and understand whether there is a cause for us to go to court and charge if there are reasons to do it. But when you read what the person says about the vacancy, the infrastructure is better quality, at least 15% most of the time, people say that tires are looking for something else. But they don't give a clear indication, which then allow you to build the case.
Let's talk about this specific individual. Because if you generalize examples, let's talk about this. Because the answers that I received from the gentleman that is at the end, he presupposes that this person resigned because of it. He then gave me a chain of other people who resigned subsequently. And yet indicates that is according to that is his response that the reason for the resignation was this issue. Because unless I did not understand the reason why he then gave me that is other people who resigned subsequently. Hence I'm saying let's clarify this one.
Check again our highlight. The investigation that we're ongoing did not the issue that we are talking about. And his resignation was with immediate effect. It did not give you a space to go and analyze and say that it was immediate effect. That is all. And in fact, Chair, if I may explain, the issue was covered quite in detail in the media as to the reasons behind it. And a number of allegations were made. I would say allegations because up until we completed the investigation, we will then be clear as to why he resigned and whether or not he should be facing some charges with that regard. So this is where that is going to go.
That is why I'm saying, even the language that we use in the meeting, we need to get it. Because the gentleman who gave us this picture, he said, consequence management and Hollywood. That's what he said.
And that implies that you investigated this thing and the guy resigned. He ran away.
If I can also add, Chair, the person that we immediately started the disciplinary action was the contracts manager. And we actually charged her of negligence. And she resigned. And subsequent to her resigning, then the other two gentlemen also resigned. But the person we specifically charged for the contract was the contracts manager.
You charge the contract for it. And then the first one, I'm still doing that. What was the reason for the resignation?
After the contracts manager, the first one is the head immediate boss, middle manager, took early retirement. And then lastly, the divisional executive resigned.
Who resigned first?
Contracts manager.
Why did you talk to the contracts manager?
Because she was being charged for negligence for her managing and her negligence of actually omitting such a big component of the contract.
At the time you were charging, were the investigations completed?
No, the investigations were not completed. I think it's another maybe issue we can talk on a general. Because once you charge someone and that person resigns, you cannot stop that person from leaving their employment with you. You can continue with your investigation and then use criminal avenues to actually go after her. But you cannot keep her in your employ even when they decide that they don't want to work for you anymore. So yes, we charged her and then she resigned. The only obligation she would have is to serve a notice, but after that notice, she can terminate her services for you. No, Chair, you first collect evidence, you confront a person in terms of what you've observed. You then give that's what our disciplinary procedure says. You then give the person an opportunity to explain himself or herself, and based on the response, you then decide whether you've got enough evidence to charge her. So there was some evidence collated, her confronted, and on the basis of that, there was materiality that she be charged, and then you start with the formal process. And then she resigned.
That's the fact that I'm looking for. That you did preliminary investigation. And you were saying to me you did not do it. But now you are saying that's what you did. And you are saying now to them.
Apologies.
That is to this meeting. Yes, this person resigned because of this. Initially, you said this is one of the issues. You remember you saying that? You said that was not the cause of the resignation.
No, Chair. The contracts manager, we actually disciplined her for her administering of this contract. And in that process, she then resigned. It's the divisional executive that was not specifically for this who resigned. You know, on his own volition.
That is why I'm saying, even our language, that's what I'm saying. You disciplined him. What does that really mean? That means there was a meeting. You disciplined a person.
Okay. Yes. My apologies, Chair, for my language. I'm just using English. We confronted her, we laid the charge in terms of our procedure. And in that process, because once you charge, you first collect preliminary information, you confront, give the person an opportunity, because it might be a misunderstanding or she can explain herself, whatever. Then on the basis of the response, you then as a manager decide whether there is substance to actually go for a formal disciplinary process. And that's what we did with her. And in that process, she resigned before we could conclude, I mean, whether to charge her, whether she's acquitted or whatever. But when we started with the formal disciplinary process, then she resigned.
What are you, Chair? The person we highlighted that resigned, not because of the issue that she's being discussed, it's the executive who was facing other issues elsewhere. And when he was asked to come, questioning, he was saying I received and we wanted to have access to his laptop. Then he took a decision that he would resign. But we had by then undertaken quite intensive investigation on the issues that she was allegedly and had been involved in. And that's the one. But the other is saying they followed the process, very different process.
Now, let's continue with this. Now we have investigated the wrong, who is the culprit.
Chair, once you resign, your only other recourse, because she's no more now in our employ, so we cannot continue interrogating her. What would happen is that we would then follow a normal criminal route or civil route. I'll have to check with my IR department if we've actually followed through that. But we don't continue with an internal disciplinary process once an employee has exited, because she's not bound to respond to the company.
This leads me to the recovery. Because you used a very good, that is terminology, consequence. Now, you are saying as soon a person would commit, let's say fraud, as an example, and you will do preliminary investigation, you charge that individual. And as soon as that individual receives a charge sheet, that individual resigns and the matter is closed. Because obviously he or she is no more governed than is by your disciplinary code. Is that what you're saying?
If I may tell, one of the reasons that even if those individuals resign, we carry on with the investigation. Because on the outcome of the investigation, if there's prima facie evidence that there's corruption, fraudulent activities that are involved, it empowers us then to go and open a criminal case or a civil case. That's why for us it's very critical that when we charge people, we charge individuals and they resign, we should have that investigation irrespective of them being not in our employment.
Let's try and cut this one short. Let's deal with the specific case. At what stage are we?
Chair,
this specific one.
Chair, I can come back on you on this one. But as I said, as my colleague says, the next route now is either to get an external investigation company, which then continues with the investigation, and then for us, again, on the strength of that investigation, go and lay a charge, criminal or civil. But as far as the internal disciplinary process, that obviously comes to an end because she's no more governed by the conditions of service of the company. But I'll have to come back to you where we are in terms of the criminal charges or civil case against the individual. And normally, because she's no more with us, we normally use an external legal firm to help us with that process.
If I could just highlight, we have had cases where even after a person has been tried to pursue the case, but legally we were advised that you don't have that right. So you can follow that. But what you can do is the investigation can proceed to the extent that there is a possibility of seeing a criminal case. But if the case doesn't have to go maybe the outcome is more important than the idea for disciplinary investigation. That case is
No, I hear what you're saying. I have to spend time on this because, unfortunately, I was a bit misled by the gentleman. You said consequence management then kicked in. Now I'm interested in what you have done as part of the consequence management. Now what I'm getting is you are still going to investigate. Are you referring to investigation as part of consequence management? Because consequence management, as you said, obviously you are saying there is a penalty already. This person has done this. We investigated, there was this penalty. And I was interested in that. But now, what you are telling me now, or what you are telling this house, is something different from what you said, only because I was so excited to say on this specific issue, at least there is something that we have done because of what you exactly said to us, the consequent management then followed. But now, when one is proven, it is very clear that it has not been done. Let's conclude it by saying, because it is very clear that nothing has been done. Let us agree that you are going to investigate. That is this matter. And let us agree, that is in this meeting, that we need to agree on the timelines. Because it is very clear that you have also not started your investigation. As to when are you starting the investigations? And I think the gentleman indicated earlier on that if there is prima facie evidence, then you will decide as to whether you go the legal route. Because what I'm interested in, it is the recovery that is off, whatever. Do I get a commitment? That's when we more or less when we come back.
Can I promise to come back in writing, Chair, because I have to obviously consult with the legal department, appointments of the firm and so on. So I don't want to make a commitment I can't keep, but let me make a commitment that will come back to you in terms of the process we're going to follow and timelines so that we keep the committee informed.
Through you, Chair, maybe I can also just add, because I also got some information as well. There is actually, on this contract, particular contract that you're talking about, an investigation that has already started, obviously commissioned by ESCOM through an external forensic firm. So that investigation actually started. What happened was the divisional executive was actually asked to try and respond to some of these things. Actually, one of the issues that basically he resigned after, you know, the questions about this. So the investigation has started, but at this stage we don't have the full details as to how far the forensics has proceeded and when it's going to be concluded. But I'm sure through our legal department we'll be able to come back, you know, to the House, to Parliament, to say when will it be concluded.
Can we maybe try and do one single thing? The reasons for us to adjourn last week was exactly what's happening now. Left is saying this and right is saying that. I take it that we are talking to an ESCOM team. and the information that is in the team should be the same. And I take it that you had preparations for this meeting. Now, unfortunately, the gentleman that is responding, he doesn't have information, and somebody next to him has information. I would request you to please reconcile your information so that when you give us a response, it is an ESCOM response. Because when we correspond with you, we are not saying Peter Tekan. We are saying ESCOM. And the response should come from ESCOM. Can we do that, please? Now, in terms of the timelines, I was a bit... You said you are still going to consult your legal gurus and you'll come back to us. But you are in charge of the process. And those people, obviously, they will be instructed by you because at the end, they will be paid by you. That is why I'm saying, give us timelines. It's not going to depend on the people that you're consulting with. Just give us timelines. Because when you meet with those people, you will have to indicate to them that I've got this matter that I want you to investigate. And the other gentleman is saying already there's some investigation in Simple. You would then be in a position to come back to us, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. Will that be reasonable?
I don't think a week's chair would be reasonable. Looking more like 6 months, but 3 months might do. But weeks, I think, for investigations and external firms, that might be tight.
Maybe we can suggest you.
No. I want us to find a way of tying it down. Because in his presentation he says actually there's an investigation on the contract and then stopped and took another step and moved away from expanding on that, which would have given us an idea of when the investigation was started, what is it about, so that we don't have to be discussing timelines here when there is an investigation that, you know, we may need to say, okay, let's wait for that. What is it for? What is it covering? What is it that is being done now? So, I don't know how the reason is, but from where I'm sitting,
I'm going to... After you, Chair, could we ask if there's an easy solution to that? We will write letters within the next 2 weeks that will indicate the latest development with the case. And we will also support you to those that are engaged to give you the timeline roughly as to how long this takes to take place. I think that would be a better option.
That's fine.
That's fine. Let's step off this one. The third one is actually actively a labor system and construction of the new airship. Power station, the 116.15.
Yes, the question. Although you see, on the documents that you've given me, which I gave to you, the correspondence between yourself and Mr. Soja, these matters we're dealing with are not. The reasons that you've given Mr. Treasury needs to report something wrong. You have all the numbers that you've given us up to 200, but the three items that we're talking to now are not in the bundle that you've sent.
No, I'm using the document.
I'm talking about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which will have their letter of submission and the reason,
yes.
And National Treasury's response and its reason.
Okay.
don't have. And you know, when we're dealing with a crisis situation, if you don't have those people, then you are severely handicapped. Because even if National Treasury has said yes, we have a right as a committee to say, National Treasury, you are wrong. But anyway, continue, Congress. I just wanted to highlight that fact that, unlike in the past, in other instances where we have all this limitation. Yeah. All right, let's talk to number 63.
Let's talk to number, yeah. Let's take it away. Yeah, through you, Chair, Honorable Kika, I can talk to expansion number 3. This is a contract at Camden. The scope here was to build the ash plant, as well as the site taking the ash to the ash and return it. It was modified one, and then the second modification, which was for time, was not supported by National Treasury. This one, Honorable Ketana, was as a result of the poor planning as well as the poor scoping, because basically the additional scope is as a result of the civil work, the layer that has to be put where the pipes are going to run. Now, that scope was omitted by engineering. And as a result of that, we went to the National Treasury and request that they give us some time so that we can also be able to make that scope. We had few engagements with National Treasury. National Treasury, eventually we agreed with National Treasury in terms of the way forward. The way forward being that instead of that portion of the scope giving it to this particular contract, to go back to the contractor that we found out at the beginning, we asked them to give us different codes. Out of that code, we'll be able to establish which one is cost effective, and then we take from there. Unfortunately, Chair, if I may comment, when we start to zoom deeper into this subject, we also realize that within the ESCOM teams, the issue of the expansion has become a norm. And it's something that we're working very hard to try and improve our processes.
That's not going to the general, that generic line. Because my next question was going to be, you say the engineers meet the qualified engineers for what? Because the things we're dealing with are, well, you must say it's negligent, or from where I'm seated, I'll say, is it not to do things for friends? I can only ask that question, but you know, I always tell COVID that if we hearing ourselves in my hometown, I'll get a native doctor to come and give us the answers to this thing. Because we might be sitting here scratching our heads and saying people make mistakes, and yet these things are done deliberately to do favors to friends. Because you already say this was modified one, so this was the second modification. But I've heard what you've said, it's fine, that's what you're saying. It's okay. I'm just saying, you're saying this to a person who I don't believe what I'm hearing. I'm refusing to accept what I'm hearing, that serious, honest people would do all this. And I might be subjective, but I'm just saying, same thing with the contract. I mean, when you said investigation, for me the question is, what are they investigating? If their starting point is not to suspect that project manager maybe has links with the companies that are having the contract in the county, that will be the issue, checking with the conflict of interest. Why would they do that? What are the names of these companies? What is the value of the housing contract? If you are renewing it on a month-to-month basis, how much does it cost you? And overall, from December until now, how much of those companies have benefited? For me, those are questions that must form in your mind. But to just say it's poor contract management as if you have employed a bunch of illiterates. But let me,
Chairperson, can I just add my voice to your concern? Because simply I don't buy the issue that it's just work planning. Work planning is just a very nice term. What we've been dealing with in other entities lately with Transnet and SAA, we've discovered that there's syndicates to work with in these backup entities. But I'd just like to make this point with regards to this. The numbers and the value of the contracts are extremely high. It is very high numbers. We're talking about millions of that. And certainly you can think the government say running through this, that is deliberate omission. It's just a mistake and we apologize. People resign with perhaps 50 million rand in their bank. And I don't see the consequence management. I don't see follow through. I don't see a current status in terms of prosecutions. I don't see case numbers. And Chairperson, we might make assumptions, but we are extremely concerned with regards to the value of the contracts, as our time has delivered us to. And we are scratching around for some information. It's not really presented to give us a thorough sort of competence evaluation of how this contract developed and what is the end result.
No,
so we are frustrated.
No, that's fine.
And we are suspicious, as we said here.
Right.
Extremely suspicious of what's happening when you speak about a 13.6 billion rand contract. You only have three people doing the bidding on this, and later it's extended to now an open market tender.
No.
For how many years does that continue? And what was the looting and the cost to the state? Those are the questions that we
answer. No, that's fine. I want to do his part finish, and then I'll allow complete. But I'm just saying, do appreciate, so that when you answer, it's not as if we're looking for answers with an empty mind. Keep that in mind. But also, demonstrate to us that you're able to think beyond the simple presentations of possibly crooked people that are not infected. Don't give us stretch responses, you know, like, we don't know, we don't understand. That's cool.
You are still responding.
Yeah, thank you through you, Chair, Honorable Speaker. The Chair is 100% right if he says this is purely negligence, because our engineers are registered engineers. They are registered with EFSA. When this came to our attention and we zoomed to the detail, trying to understand how can a registered engineer omit this type of scope, we couldn't get the answers. We requested the executive engineering manager to follow this one up and investigate. What we picked up, similar to the previous discussion, the particular engineer left the organization. But the investigation from the engineering department is carrying on. And then once the outcome of the investigation will be able to have the whole work in the
he left the organization. Where is he?
Say it again, Honorable Peter.
The question is, where is he? He left the organization and went to where?
Well, I don't have the information in terms of where he is right now.
Let me tell you why I asked this question. Because the way you are responding is that you investigate people and leave the organization. You see, the trend in government is people would leave the organization. For instance, on this one, that is why the chair is saying we suspect, and we don't want to suspect anything.
Hence, we are saying, please provide us with information. That we are talking about expansion. Here's a person who was directly involved in this. He leaves the organization. He opens a consultancy. The same guy. Because in terms of planning, this guy knew that this would amount to so much. And now he left. Eskom gives him or her, that is the job, to conclude the same thing. Are you aware that there are instances, that there are those instances where people will just mysteriously leave the organization, and after leaving the organization, they do the same work that is for Eskom. That is why I'm asking you, where is he? Because unfortunately, we are still going to investigate these issues. I'm trying to be lenient, that is today. And I clearly said in the last meeting, please, let us be honest, that is with our answers, because we are on record. And next time when you come back here, I'll be leading you on your answers. That is why I'm saying, please, be honest with me, so that when we deal with these issues next time, you know exactly what you said to me.
Yeah, Chair, through you, Chair. As I indicated earlier on, right now, we don't know where it is. You are 100% in the past. There were some instances where some of our employees would leave and end up doing the business with Eskom. But in terms of the measures that we would put in place on all the transactions that get processed through the governance, it's part of the audit that gets done to verify whether this person has worked for Eskom or not, so that if that's the case, that gets brought to the attention of the adjudicating committee so that they can be able to apply their mind properly.
Thank you, Chair. I may sound really general and high level, but I would like to highlight a couple of things that I would request the members to have at the back of their mind. I'm not surprised that the members are suspicious of what we are trying to explain. But this has been a while, this has taken 4 days from Friday to the various group of people the transaction is trying to solve. That does not necessarily mean that will be 100% true. But we have tried to get as much information as possible. But we are not dealing with a normal institution. We are dealing with an institution that has gone through trying times. In the board, especially because of the issue that has been raised, has taken a decision that deviations are not to accept.
Consequence of saying, well, let's go home and leave it to you to continue with the process.
Now,
what I want you to do is to understand our intervention in this context. That as you try and normalize things, as you try and identify areas to deal with, take note of the areas of focus emphasis that come from our engagement. What we will not do is to accept that there was a period when Eskom became abnormal. Therefore, it was abnormal. It was fine for things to be that way. Now we're normalizing. The issue of the investigation that we have happened, not necessarily surprised, because there were people all along.
even when we're not there, there were people who were in position, who were earning every month, who were taking responsibility for everything that was happening there. And that is what we are calling out here. And I think the questions that we are posing are actually assisting to sharpen the focus on the abnormality, if you call it that, of the situation. So I think maybe keep that for the last part when we end, not now. Otherwise, it will say what then.
I think the process that we are going to follow on this one is exactly the same process where you will give us a report as to who was involved, what happened to that individual, and how to as an institution going to recover the taxpayers' as well. Let's move to, I'm waiting on your document. You are saying from page 15, that's right, one expansion valued at 115 million is pending. That is transaction has taken. That's a reasonable solution for engineering and product management to pursue the power station. What do you mean by pending? In your document, it's page 15 of this document. I deliberately didn't want to use my document. Let me work on it so that we understand each other.
Okay, that's page 14.
From their document, the presentation that they wanted to make for us, it is on page 15.
Huh?
No, 79. Yeah. 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 What do you mean by this?
At the time when we were preparing this document, we said this one is pending because we are still waiting for the response from the National Treasury. However, they did give us a response which supported the expansion.
Okay. Thank you. Then, if they support it, obviously we have to have a discussion. That is with National Treasury. But let's look at this managing team. Let's look at the same issue in terms of contract management. When did this contract expire? Yes, they gave you permission. And when did it expire? Chair, this contract expired the end of 2017. Just a bit of background for you, Chair, if I may. If you look at this type of transaction, those are the transaction when we started the new bill. We went out to the market trying to supplement our school, and then we bought different panels with different levels. This is one of the companies that is in panel A. On panel A, we had three of them, which was QB Power, this one, Megan Beach, and US International. And then we had the panel B and panel C. They were rated in terms of the expertise that they have. Now, panel A, those are the companies that have expertise of executing bigger projects like Metupi and Busisi. And when
when we then appointed them, we followed the ESCOM governance, put them in the panel, then we established a committee so that we can be able to renew the task orders that we were using at the time. These type of panels are more resources, people resources, supporting the project that we are executing. So from time to time, we will go and go through the committees, ask those resources to assist in the project. And the panel A's were execution partners. In other words, they are the ones that were designed to stay long in the project. Don't not do the same number, because right now, if I recall, on this one, we're remaining with 51 people from this company. And the team is the other thing they require, but now we're using them because they've transferred.
Thank you.
Thank to our people, they are another thing.
Okay. On the same document before I use them, let's look at the last bullet. You are saying of the 26 expansions that were not supported by National Trust, 3 cases where the contracts were implemented without compensation. That's a statement from the service. Question is what?
If I may, through you, Chair, if you look at those three, the other one, that's the one that Mongezi was dealing with on the security act. The other one, out of the two, was a recurring contract called the Parallel Services. And then the other one, it was also the M-Tech, which was also part of the panel, provided the resources. When we look at the common ratio on these three transactions, it falls to probably 2 things. One is that as much as in some of these panels, I mean, in some of these transactions, they started editing to rework them because they were about to expire, but we feel that the adequate standing was not done. And then 2 is the issue of aligning our processes and procedures with the National Treasury. We feel that we have not properly aligned our processes properly with National Treasury. And through you, Chair, I'll give you a perfect example. If you look at the Palale services, it expired January 2018. They started April 2017 to start to work on it. And at the time, the project made a decision to say they are going to expand, not go to the open market. They cited various reasons of making sure that the stability around the project, because we are catering people those to 10,000, 12,000. And if you recall very well, at some stage, the issue of food around the Palale Metuki Power Station, there was a lot of issues. So one of the things that is very sensitive in this project is it's food, hygiene, water. If you get those wrong, then basically you impact the whole site. And around, they took it through the governance process. Around November, then they got the approval in ESCOM processes. Around November, they went to National Treasury. National Treasury looked at that specific transaction. Around the 20th of December, National Treasury requested more information. And more information was given. The engagement was carrying on, visiting National Treasury, exchanging and all that. On the 29th of January, National Treasury says, no, you have to go out to the market. and the contract was expiring end of January on the 31st. Now going out to the market, a decision was made that while we're going to the market, we have to keep on catering for the people, otherwise we're going to have all the protests that we've seen in the past. So hence, Chairperson, I say the reviewing of our policies is going to be very important, because when National Treasury said no, then they went ahead and allowed the same company to do the catering for a period of 6 months while they are going out. First February till end of July, then first August they are appointed to the open tender process.
I allowed you to speak, but you're not responding to the question. Here is an institution of government, and this institution is governed by law. And the law does not permit you to do what you're doing. Then you decide, I'm going to do it. What are you saying to us? Because what I wanted you to respond to is proper authority. You are not authorized. And you clearly accepted me. And you gave me a very long story. All what I'm saying is, there is a PFMA, there are regulations from National Treasury that governs what you're talking about. And National Treasury clearly said no. And ESCOM feels that no, you are above the law. You can do it. Whether we have ESCOM, that is National Treasury, agrees or not. What is the justification of ESCOM that is deciding not to follow the provisions of the law?
My colleague has indicated, when we started with the modification, the anticipation was that the reasons that were provided are sufficient for National Treasury to approve. I want to run to your issue. I want to get to the point.
No. Because what you have said, that is the crux of the matter.
Yes.
You're thinking that your reasons are sufficient.
Yes.
I mean, as he was explaining, I just felt I think this doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So when how it makes sense to you is the fundamental question.
Yes.
Because it talks to the quality of the decisions that you people take. You create the perfect storm, the perfect problem, where you say people couldn't stop feeding people.
So Chair, I agree with what you're saying. So when Treasury rejected the modification of the expansion, we didn't realize that, as you correctly said, Chair, that we're sitting with a crisis on our hands because we need to feed the people on site. Then we requested Treasury to give us time to go out on the open tender. And at that time, we requested for a period of 6 months so that we can then run an open tender process. That 6 month request that we asked from Treasury, it was also denied and not approved. So we sat with that situation, Chair, where we had to make sure that there's continuity of workings on site.
Let's do this. I mean, you're not saying anything. You're merely emphasizing what your colleague said. You see, I think the question that he's asking, maybe deal with it as a rhetorical question. Because what else are we going to explain?
Chair, if I may, we're not above the law as ESCOM. That was one of the reasons that we put the assurance and forensic on this violation. because after National Treasury said no, one option that was thinking very loud was probably to find a way to escalate the concern that is facing the project, because obviously the risk was there, but not for the team to go against what the law said. So out of this assurance and forensic, we expect that there will be various recommendations that will come or that will assist us moving into the future so that we don't have the repeat.
Well, that's fine. I'm not talking about this. Are you aware that we are talking about 791 million of taxpayers? Are we aware?
Yeah, Chair, if I may, the number that was put on that presentation, the 691 million, it's out of this contract, when it was initially placed, it was placed for 2 years with 12-month contingency. So the 691 that is displayed there is the period that that was consumed on the 2 years and the 12 months. And when they were asking for expansion, they were asking 18 months, and then they added the money for that 18 months. Just for the 6 months that we used to go out, where we violated the National Treasury direction, it costed us 66 million. But it's still a violation. It's still a violation.
No, I'm talking about the contract value. And I don't know what I'm disputing. I'm talking about the contract value of 691 million. Now let's look at the implications of this. And this is what is happening throughout in ESCOM. The contract value would be, let's look at the 691 million. And there would be other people tendering. Unfortunately, those people won't get that tender, you see? And in the implementation of the project, you will then come to National Treasury and a request for deviation. And only to find it, you are not, the lowest. And actually, you find that this contract was not supposed to be given to Chiwani. But the way you cooked it, it finally went to Chiwani. With an understanding that during the process of the contract, you then say, no, we can't implement it, we need an additional amount. You see? And this is what they're doing throughout your project on deviations and expansions. And what about those people who tender correctly? What are we saying to them? Because the law is very clear. If National Treasury says, these are the basis of you that is awarding a tender, and you need to follow them, and you are very brave in your documents, you say, no, we did not follow. And we must sit here, that is as members of parliament, and say, no, we understand ESCOM had a particular reason, that is why they felt that they are not going to follow, that is the provisions of the law. Now the question is, why do we have this law if it is not going to be followed? We understand all the reasons that you are giving us. Unfortunately, members of the public are watching what you're talking about. You might find that there is somebody who tendered for the same thing and at a very high price. And something happened that it was made for so and so, with the understanding that, no, after some time, it would go to National Treasury and say, National Treasury, no, this is not enough.
That, I mean, the Honourable Kitani has made a gallant effort to get to the truth. It's very difficult to dig deeper than you can go with a shovel. But I think perhaps it's an obligation of SCOPA to say what has happened with with the law enforcement agencies attending our meetings where we have these discussions and we can then refer it to them for further investigation, which will mean an external investigation and not an internal investigation as called for by the state institution. I don't mistrust everybody in the institution, definitely not. But there should be a risk committee, there should be a very independent audit committee. Based on those facts, it could empower the board, but also from the SCOPA perspective, instead of going into perhaps even to the point of personal confrontation, I believe we should call for an independent law enforcement agent to assist us in these investigations, report back to us, have their views, they can interact with Treasury, we can have a holistic picture of what happened, and we can take them forward.
Professor, thank you. I just wanted to ask a few quick questions that they are general. I just wanted to get an explanation from ESCOM about what is the need of getting an expansion of hosting of content.
Maybe ask all your questions.
Okay. If the planning division, if you have anything like that within ESCOM, was there and doing what they are supposed to be doing. If it was there, why is it a problem for you to have planned and make sure that you don't have to deviate at the end of the day or expand your contract? It's simple enough, not for them.
Maybe let's talk to the generalized question. Maybe I might get patient. There are more than willing to sit throughout the night. Of course, tomorrow, you know, it's staying off, so we need you. And I deliberately wanted them to go that route because then it gives you a drift of the thinking in the committee. I just want you to really respond to some of these inputs before I give them, just to check if there's any pointed questions that you want to ask. And please don't tell us these divisions and functions are just 1% of the procurement. That's relevant. Even if it was 0.001, you pretend that is a transaction that we are not happy with. It needs to be properly and sufficiently explained.
Thank you, Chair. That was the intention when I spoke earlier. I think members were here to provide an honest truth of what is happening or what has happened in the school. That's important. We came here and we said we want to give you the information that is as correct as possible. We went back, we investigated, we picked up all the logs, and we consolidated. We checked, we questioned it, started identifying it, started identifying it, and we've been working. What is coming out here? Something that the audit report has got to do with our personal policies. We are doing it. We are here and we are seeing our procurement policies in better way. We are also saying it needs to be adjusted and aligned with the PMMA because sometimes there is no GPT. We are also here to say that our control systems are not exactly what they should be, in as much as we have done quite a lot of work in the past. But we are dealing with the huge, gigantic institution. It is precisely because of that that the board took the decision that this deviation has to come to a stop and we are not going to approve. So, Chair, we are saying this is where we are in board meeting. These are the challenges that we have. We don't want to come in and say it happened before our time. Yeah, it's a challenge. But we want to talk about the future. We want to review our procurement policy. We want to align it to the next agenda. We want to put control. Importantly, what has been lacking has been for the ESCO for some time is cost of control management. That is why we get exactly the same question as to what happened to so-and-so, what happened to so-and-so. The modifications at ESCOM became a norm. And you can see, we are not trying to justify it. A good question that's been asked, why, if a contract does not go, why do you modify, or why do you have to go for modification? The most justification is problem if you have control system. There are modifications that are unforeseen that could be them that are, exceptions that you can go to the National Treasury and say we have this because of the foreign reason, one or two. But ours are not justified. And if we have tried to listen to the presentation that has been made by my colleagues, you will hear what we were trying to do. The first thing was to try to explain the project. secondly, the date and when the modifications were done. But the first thing was to acknowledge whether or not this should have taken place, or if it had taken place, what was the reason. Now, the Auditor General wrote a piece of work, and it said that almost 87% of the modifications are not necessary. It's because of poor corporate governance. Then the National Treasury came forward and said about 50% of the modifications have in one way or the other some dubious decisions that have to be mentioned. Well, we are involved in this thing and we are trying to clean the institution as much as possible. We are working with seven agencies as we are talking now who are investigating what is happening at ESCOM. From SIU, COGS, NTA, SAPS, Zondo, you can name them all. And we've been providing them with information. But we spend most of our time with SIU and the and we want them to run through all this to find out what exactly happened. We are not proud to stand in front of you here to explain this. But I request that you acknowledge or you know that our view is not to come and say, this was a project, it was fine, we did this because it needed to be done. That's a tone that we don't want. We want to express clearly whether or not this thing was avoided. When it comes to the three projects that were not approved by National Treasury, in whatever form, in whatever way, for whatever reason, should not have happened. So we hope we're going to work together with government as we begin or as we continue to change this thing, to clean this thing. That is a huge institution. It's a huge institution that has employed 48,000, that has 800 billion assets, that is spread all around the world. And we noticed that the controls that we put in are beginning to bear fruit at a high level.
Why and James also have resolutions to
Only comfort I will have is for us to go through, because otherwise we could have had the state job in 10 years. I the CEO can rest assured I do not for one moment doubt his commitment and his capability. And, but Chair, I think we have agreed that you have come for here. So we are in your hands, Chair.
No, you're free, right?
Oh,
it's
okay.
Up to you what you, okay. What you want to do.
Okay. Oh, that's fine, Chairperson. Chair, last week, you were dealing with the deviation. Chair. I may just take a step back, because maybe this is part of the trend which not actually, but if I just focus. So Chairperson, so there were deviations which the National Treasury did not approve. So my question becomes, what happened at that point when approved? So there's a very categorical statement here that ESCOM complied with National Treasury decisions with deviations requested were not supported. So what happened at that point? Because I still want to, as I said last week, deviation and expansion that we come along. So now that being the case, so the National Treasury says no. I think so that is exactly the thing. If you can be able to function post no, that is the warning sign which your capabilities are not in question, but your intentions are. Because then you have to then, the Treasury says no, you need to operate within the parameters of what is normal, what is acceptable. So I'm interested to know who, Chair, I'm one for me, of these, I want to know who was the driving force behind each of these applications. Right? The full deviation, who was, and what were their intentions? So maybe the first search is, what happened at that point? How did you then find your footing, post no? Who was the official, and what was the intention?
I can give two examples, Chief, if you want.
Not example, I'm very specific. I want all the transactions. The National Treasury said no, because you submitted 15 deviations. That includes the unlisted deviations. So, only 15, so not many transactions. So I'm speaking about the ones where Treasury said no.
I will kickstart with the first four, and then my colleagues will come in.
Okay.
The first one, Chair, is hashtag 41. That's a construction line in the Eastern Cape, where before we could complete it, we first had an issue with access to the land, so that we can have a right to actually plant the poles in terms of the lines. That actually disrupted the program. And then the second disruption was that we had some land claims and rains in the area that definitely pushed the program to the limit. By the time that the time lapsed, 95% of the project was completed, and we needed to complete the last five. And the local management team thought that it was reasonable to ask Deviation to continue with the original contract to actually complete the last 5%. Unfortunately, National Treasury said no. We then had to go out on an open tender, which cost us 3.5 million instead of the 1.8 million it would have cost us if we continued with the original contractor. So point being, it was natural climate issues that we could not deal with.
Who got that tender from the open tender?
The name is Siavuya Power Projects, and originally that tender was with Consolidated Power Projects, CONCO.
Who forms Consolidated?
Consolidated directors are M.B. Tonjeni, M. Prasti, D. Fanzei, and S. Gesha.
So I'm going to take it by your almost concluded statement there, which it cost you 3.5 million rand and not the 1.8. That you cast us, you cast an eye on the decision. Yes, on the decision by Treasury. Am I reading you correctly?
Yes, Chair. I mean, that's the reason that we approached Treasury to allow us, because if you get a new contractor, they must set camp, they must do all other things. They must also acclimatize themselves to the project.
So it's your view that Treasury was being unreasonable?
We still think that it could have cost us less if we just completed the last 5%.
So you think National Treasury was being unreasonable?
Correct, correct.
Now, I raise this check because the other reason is that Treasury must not find itself absorbed as well, so that we can also look at their, at some point, at their rationale in terms of how they arrived at decisions. But the second one, and I'll come back to this one. So can carry on to the next hashtag.
Hashtag 43.
It's a VSAT connectivity for CCTV. Basically, our substations in remote areas and in dangerous areas, we put in CCTV that we then connect to our security control so that we can monitor them remotely. We did a pilot project in Limpopo, Mpumalanga. We tested different systems and different providers, and we then concluded that Vodacom had most coverage in that area. We then went to National Treasury with a single source approach to say, we've done the pilot, we think that...
You piloted with who?
We piloted with all cellular phone companies. So National Treasury said no, we must actually go back for open tender.
Who
No, sorry, Chair. Can I correct myself? We approached National Treasury and they supported. So they allowed us to actually go with Vodacom. Although it's in the list, it is a deviation. Although National Treasury at the end said it was a good decision to actually go with Vodacom. And then in the next 12 months, we'll again go up on an open tender and again test the market.
I really wanted to compare. I was thinking about deviation, which probably is not
No. Yeah, it's fine. I think the one that you've spoken to, I think Treasure was wrong.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Yeah, we will.
You're lucky that they agreed with you that you're wrong. That's why they only gave you 12 months, and after 12 months they say go on open 10.
Because, no, I wanted to, that's what I'm saying, which I wanted to flag that one, because I wanted to go with what was talking about. So if we can just go to the ones that were not supported.
Hashtag 46 is the line traps. Line traps is an equipment in the power station that helps you with telecommunication between the substation and national control. It's not manufactured locally. We normally import it. And it's got a bit of a lead time because when you do your accreditation, you need to visit the manufacturers, and that includes international factories. For this one, we started late, so we accepted that. There was a delay in our planning. We should have
right.
Said.
Yeah. Who was responsible for this?
I don't have a name, Chair, but I do know it's a national contract. But I mean, we can find the name.
So you fail to plan and your scapegoat is a deviation. So I want to know who is that person. Because you know, the one thing which both the board and maybe the accounting and management is here, I'm always interested in the person who's got their hand on the future.
Unfortunately, Chair, I don't have a name for this one. In fact, as I say, National Treasury had said no.
So no action was taken.
It's not closed yet, Chair. It's still because as we sit now, we don't have a contract.
I say it in the context to say somebody cost you, and so I'm saying no action was taken.
Not yet. It's in progress. Check.
What's in progress? Thinking of a contract on the charging.
Both. In terms of
contract. So who are you charging? Because if it's in progress, your starting point is Mkulego. You did not plan. I'm charging Mkulego. Kalanga. So. I'm trying to protect individuals who are costing us our seats. I don't want to know who is this person.
We've identified the wrongdoing, which is the lapsing of the contract.
So when did
so
we
there is
list that when?
Date is... It's recent, Chair, because currently, as I say, we don't have a... 29 March 2018, that's when, that's
the
date, 29
March. 28th of August, you've not identified the person. You recognize that cannot in any way be said to be problem.
Last comment, Chair, on this one. When things like this happen in the business, our first response is first to try and stabilize and deal with the risk.
With all due respect.
And there's consequence management.
Both processes are going on.
Yes, Chair.
So
but
Now, 29 March, 28 August today.
What I'm trying to get at is,
when consequent punishment becomes a biased way and is pursued through what I would call a live affair attitude, then people are bound to take risks because they know what to. Well, maybe not. It's a gray area. So it's one of those on the fringes. So I would quite frankly say there's no progress on consequence management. You can't sit there and categorically say both. Because I'm going to ask, because we've identified the problem. What I'm saying is, you are late, you are admitting you are late. Because who was late? That's all. Because they want to build on that.
Do they
continue to function in other contracts, in other spaces? Do they continue doing other things? This person who does things late, will we emerge 2 months from now and identify something else that they've done late? For them, it's business as usual. I can cost the planning of huge entities such as this one, and I'm not even known, I'm a ghost. I'm sure you can't possibly expect me to believe that. With all due respect to you, you can't possibly believe it. Let alone this comment.
Chair,
except
for this one, consequence management is late and we'll pick it up.
Last week, because my issue was I'm coming to the breakdown of this, and I asked for these kind of details because this purpose of those Kuma with board and over management, the people that are responsible, but I feel like why is consequence management late? If that's the admission, then why is it late? 5 months later. I'm following up on the comment in which consequence management is really why?
Honourable Member, I have highlighted that one of the challenges of the patient, and you will pick up from time to time, in most of the cases, as we are running through all the range of we found that there were no consequences. It's a challenge that we face in the institution, and it's one of the core policy directions that the board has decided to pursue. So, where am I trying to hide?
I'll tell you why I make that statement. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'll tell you why I make it. The experience we have here, that's exactly how a syndicate operates. Whether it's a DISCOM or SAA or Transnet, all the SOEs we've been to and interacted with, maybe not even the SOEs, even departments, that's exactly how it is. Your first point of difficulty is always the difficulty of not being able to trace a transaction or an issue a shortcoming to an individual. Unless that individual is outside the syndicate. If they're outside the syndicate, the name drops 2 seconds after the question has been posed. So there and then, because they're not part and parcel of the cohort of the looters. So that's why I raised it.
There are those green shoots that we have to do. Very good reason. We still have a long journey to travel. But in the last quarter, for example, we had 1,049 cases, of which 628 have been found. resulting to 75 employees exit. Now, it looks big, the number. But for an institution that has 40,000, it's a drop in the ocean. And I'm trying to highlight that there is an effort in the easy journey that we have to and at some stage, in 2 years' time, or so, maybe we have seen a quite a stage.
Look, I also
Chair, I want to ask that because we can applaud those strides. That's exactly the expectation. Our primary focus at this point in time is on deviation, which we have identified as a serious avenue to a grand life through corrupt means. So I don't take away the 1,049 and the 75 exits. I want to narrow it down to this particular one, so that we do not even overtake the work of your portfolio companies. Because the question I've asked, the late planning resulted in what's the losses then to ESCOM because of this? So Treasury says no. And then you have to now proceed another way. Does it delay you? Does it cost you money? So on. If that's the case, who must bear that loss? Why must ESCOM and the state bear losses which arise out of negligence of people and faces we cannot identify? So I fully and commend that. Good, you don't get me wrong. But for the purposes of what we are doing, is to strengthen consequence management and recovery. So here now, this Joseph, who was late in planning 5 months ago, we are yet to find them now. What has happened then? What's the cost implication on top of what would have been normal? I'm posing that as a question. So Treasury said no, so you must go on content. That delay, that late planning, how much has it cost you?
Not in financial terms, through you, Chair, but certainly there's projects that are now delayed because this equipment, these line traps are not available because we cannot use the contract.
You can't use the contract, and still financing the contract.
No, the contract is...
So I would imagine that you needed this 5 months ago because you wanted to use, I would believe, economists use a term, cost of opportunity cost. There has to be a cost. It can't not be. You would not have needed it unless it was a luxury spend.
As I say, Chair, there's projects that are in the pipeline that need the equipment. So we have to go and analyze whether those contracts are continuing or are delayed. And if they are delayed, what is the impact? But clearly, for us to, there's projects that definitely need the equipment, and if the equipment is not there, because the contract is not in place, there would be delay in the execution of those projects. So we'll have to quantify what that amount is.
So that has not been done?
No,
so I would like to talk about that. That was, I just think the issue of consequence and discipline goes just well beyond the transaction in its immediate form. It's got ripple effect to the broader functioning of the institution. I mean, Chairperson has been making the analogy now that we are in the sunset of this term. If I trip down the stairs here and have to be on crutches for 6 months, the opportunity cost for campaigning is huge. It's one less foot soldier on the ground. Time productivity lost. So that's why I was saying, I want to know who's this person, because their damage
is much broader, but maybe Chair, I suppose it's no use clogging a dead horse on this one.
Can you actually wanted to because I thought you know, coming with 2, 3, 4 pointed cases would actually take you to the same destination as Congress Return. And once you have reached that, we need to say, okay, how do we sum this? How do we go from here? Because the next one that you're going to take will surely lead you there. That's why the CEO, I don't appreciate what you're saying. I hear him, but the net effect of what you're saying, and let's stop the promise and give them the space to go and work. But we have a responsibility as well as a committee to make sure that the officials and everybody understands that we have to do things differently, and that maybe we have an even sharper focus than, you know, than what they're doing. Because you can't identify that there's poor planning, but you don't immediately attach that to an individual. Who is that person who didn't plan? And it takes you 5 months. You want to start by stabilizing the situation, while that same individual might be messing up in other projects. So it just talks to this whole thing. And it was important for us to, I think, for the message to see to the officials that, yes, you can't come and give us flat explanation. Like what the CEO is saying, you analyze these things, and you wrote them down, and then you fit them out. Our starting point is the very fact that are on the paper. Let's start there and move on. They're not the end. What is on paper is not the end. It's actually the starting point of the engagement. Let's give life and meaning and context to what you've written here. So, I'm
tempted to ask for something, but I'm going to. I hear what you're saying, Chairperson. I want to. My difficulty is if we do not engage in an exercise where we put a face to a crisis, I fundamentally believe that we are faced. But I think the CEO is making an almost compelling statement to say, look, there's a problem. And it was evident last week. So my assumption today was that we get. Because at some point last week I asked for a breakdown of the cost factors involved in one of the transactions, because what I was trying to get at is that if we do not look at the nitty-gritty, we get lost in generality, and I see ourselves going to do the same thing now, and that is my frustration. And I think quite early for it to arrive, because I had thought we would see the world. Maybe, Chair, final question. Of these deviations that were requested, were any of them imagined?
Chair,
when you don't have a contract like this one and you've got projects, you'd have to start looking at a stopgap. Because whilst you go on an open tender, the business must still function. But of course, you must do that within the rules of the game the law.
No. The question is, the request for deviation of the work, is there anyone that wants to mention? You have a question?
Chairperson, just the ones that were held in generation, there were five. None of the ones that was not approved by the National Treasury was an emergency. Because the business income was running halt or something happened or incurred some damage to the ones. So that's why I'm saying for the ones that were in generation, there was no emergency.
So all of them arose out of the fact that there was just the loss of focus and protest. There was no emergency. You know, when we went to one of the entities, one lady behind her chair, she's got a whiteboard, and she's detailed every contract which is within her area of responsibility, contract number and the expiry date for that contract. So at the turn of her head, she's got all the information to say she knows when to start kicking in the process of renewal for the next one. I found it very odd because she just had it in an open space and I was kind of quite, I understood the principle. So I that's why I asked that general statement, because I think it drives home the point of what. And of course, I note that there have been considerable decreases in the request for deviation. If you look at quarter on quarter, I know that. But one deviation is one deviation too many. There are a lot of the wrong consequences, so we still have a problem. So, Chair, I'll probably just, in light of what has been said, and I think the direction in which you have tried to point us. I accept it because I'm a chairperson advising. Chair, I really hope. That at some point we can sit down and go through these transactions in the fullest of their detail and with the conviction to discipline people. Because if we created this culture, then you might as well then go straight and discipline the board and manager. Charge them for dereliction of duty. That the institution is not planned. But I hear the people saying, between King and Kengelen, spaghetti kind of thing, that's fine. Give the benefit of the doubt. That's fine. Even whilst that would have happened, it would not have taken away the fact that these deviations have been applied. And we want to get to the bottom of each and every one. So I request, Chair, would you will arrive at that particular conclusion. Would you, if the statement as I read it is to request time. I think we are reasonable enough to grant it. Or do we still need to come back to this? I strongly believe we do. Particularly on the basis of the virtues. Getting my last dollar, not much. Let there be an organized indicator. And we need to begin chipping away at it. And we, and Chair, because last week somebody said you were very busy, and I said, oh, we're not. The issue is we are partners with ESCOM to get to the bottom of this. And we are approaching this purely from that end.
So, Chair, but no, that's fine. Let me give the last minute thing to get his perspective, and then we can get
Okay, I'm extremely pleased as the CEO. You're the man I want to speak to because you're the one responsible for it. I do care about it. This is the man who was back. This is the one who goes to jail. Right, you quoted a figure of your 1,149 disciplinaries, okay? And you're very proud of your 628, is that right? Why are you so proud? Something is off.
The number of people that we have and the number of cases.
Okay, when did that start?
That is in different.
Complete half.
That is in different.
In April this year?
Yes.
And you completed half?
Yes.
Okay. Then out of that you got 75 dismissals. Is that dismissals or resignations or yet today mutually acceptable and departure?
Declaration.
That report that I received is dismissed.
So that's just over 10%. What happens to the rest of the 550? Have they received it more?
Of course, it depends on the case. I can't speak about that, you know, but I assume that it would be a written warning or some of the people would be found.
Would our 5-month friend over there fall into this group?
No, because I don't know who was.
Well, who does that? Why don't you know what the
challenge is? Put the challenge when you have
Are you the CEO?
No, I'm the CEO, but I have
to say, why are you not responsible for that list? Surely you are primarily responsible for the entire entity and therefore responsible for everything that's on, including discipline.
I am responsible for that. I have 40,000 around South Africa, people. That becomes very difficult to understand.
Listen, give me a revelation. The point is, you are responsible.
Yes. Okay.
You're responsible.
I just want to highlight that area where I'm comfortable to know the names is as a single name. Or if someone does something so gracious that I can't mind. But the majority of the time, is that it becomes numbers to me. This is what we're doing.
Okay, what process gave rise to these 1,049 acts that will suddenly appear in April?
What we decided to do is we were moving very slowly on what we have already highlighted. That is, when people have done something wrong, disciplinary hearing was not following. There was no consequence management. This was deliberated at ESCOM, and the decision was taken that we need to move this. We are hoping to complete this as soon as possible as we move forward.
You're missing my point. What happened? What cataclysmic event happened that suddenly gave you 1,000? This is 1,049.
Yes.
1,049 disciplinaries.
Yes.
Was it? I suppose what I'm trying to get to is that build up over 10 years. Did it build up over 3 years? Did it build up over 6 months? Did everybody suddenly misbehave on the same day? Where did that 1,049? And in there, we've probably got matters that are much longer than 5 months. Can you use any idea of where that's come from?
There are a number of cases that came. Some of them are old. It's when people believe and they start using their whistleblowing. And some of the cases are probably 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. It was not a situation of just something happening in the background.
Anyway, I appreciate you got back. In fact, we have been encouraging the team to use it.
I think part of the process for is you need to come back to us with a full list of all 1,049. Exactly when they originated, what they were for, exactly when the DC process started, where the process is at the moment, etc., etc., etc. How many suspensions, some of these suspensions exceeding 90 days, etc., etc., etc. Give us a full picture of what's going on. That'll provide some comfort. You recently started some investigations at this end. You brought in outside forensic firms. What is the purpose of that? What are you trying to do? And what is the timeline? What is the specific terms of reference you've given those firms?
It's precisely because of the different cases that we're facing. There are quite a number of them. Let me start.
Yes.
Some of it will be coming out of that. Some of it came in the news. And I can put it on the table. Like an EOH case, which is the only case that we have had since the new board came in. It's a whistleblowing that is coming in where certain things need to be done. It's a number, it's a variety of things that come into the report. But importantly is, as a board, we made a commitment that if things are raised up, we'll deal with it. So we are dealing with it.
EOH, is that relating to IT matters?
Yes.
Anything to do with our recent CETA investigations? Because EOH also leads to a whole lot of things with CETA and SAPS.
No, in my understanding, there was no relationship.
There was no relationship between that. I am aware of a number of companies that were contesting for the RFP. And what came in the media is that how it was done was not according to the policies. And that we had in one Friday, it must have been March or so. Within Monday, we instituted investigations and we got a private company to investigate. But the case has been a bit more complicated than I think what we thought.
All right, now let me give Comrade Kuno, I'll come back to you. Then I'll give Comrade Kekani to wrap up. All right, okay.
Chairperson, maybe just to explain to the CEO, and I'm not sure if you are a new board member or you've been there before. Are you the new board member? Maybe to explain to you as a leadership of ESCOM. Here we're dealing with specifics. We want to speak with the person. My representation is having the same, transgress a law that is black and white, simple, doesn't need a lot of interpretation, you don't need to have a lawyer to come and interpret to you. And it's a name. The problem is that I don't know what is difficult for you to put a name into an investigation. We are not here trying to oppose you or anything. ESCOM is a public entity. All of us here are elected representatives of South Africa. So what we're doing here, we want to make sure that our people out there, they get what's supposed to get to them, which is service delivery. So that's why when we ask questions, we're asking it on their behalf to actually say to them, and to the taxpayers as well, to actually say to them, this is the right country for you to pay tax in. We don't want to be seeing a situation where you'll be coming in Parliament asking for bailout when we could have saved the situation at an early stage. So the minute you don't want to come up with a name in Thabiso Nkuno who has transgressed the law and Shengwa, and because of this name, this is what we are doing. If Treasurer says no to a contract, and you go ahead, you obviously know who this is. You don't have to have, you don't have to work in the administration. You know that this person is the one who, irrespective of what the treasury has said, they went ahead. And they knew that this is not a sole supplier. This was not something that was urgent. It was not necessary for you to stand out yourself. You know that person. That what we want to hear from you is that Tapelo Shirani did something wrong, and this is what you are doing as the new board. You cannot say I'm turning things around, and as you are turning things around, you are secretly turning them around. It's not going to happen. If you start saying Tapelo Shirani has done this wrong, and this is what you have done, and I'm disciplining Tapelo Shirani, and this is the process that you are doing. Because if you don't discipline this one, it's going to go on and on and on. And the syndicate that is within ESCOM that we all know about, it's going to go and get deeper and deeper. Because we know, we read about it. We are members of parliament. We go all over. People come and tell us. You know, I heard you talking about ESCOM in a meeting. Here's where the problem is. No, we understand about the syndicate. And for you to break that, Jesus is not going to come from heaven and come and do it for you. You have been given a duty to deal with that. Whoever gave you that, that wants to deal with it. So that's why we want to actually say to South Africans out there, we do not want you to have let out. And as ESCOM, our primary job is this, and we are going to make sure that we cannot do that if we are not looking at the law and if we're not following the law and its procedures. So the main important thing is to actually say, if this person has done something wrong, whether they're here or they're not here, they have done something wrong. If you are disciplining them, like now we're looking at your photos with everything that you've done in the past, some of the things, we don't know, it might be allegations also. But to actually say, if something has done wrong, you can never change it by not naming that person. You'll be coming next year and you know, all of a sudden you've turned things around, and within 2 months you have investigated. When at the beginning it took you 6 months for you to investigate. We don't want you to investigate forever, because you might not be here tomorrow. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, the name, man, like the 1,400 name people that we've talked about, they should be somewhere in your laptop. So actually, these are the people that we are disciplining. What we want is that we want the name. We want Ntabiso Nkuno, Tapelo Shilwane, you know, all those people, we want them. We want to know exactly what they've done and what you are doing as a CEO to discipline them, the processes that you are taking. If there's a case number, we want the case number so that we can help you follow it up. You understand what we're actually saying. But Chairperson, that there was earlier on, I don't know if it's this meeting, we are not in the AI meeting the morning, but he said that we used to have law enforcement agencies now. So I'm saying, Chairperson, this is really, very important for us to actually get into the bottom of this. We do not have time. You see, tomorrow we'll be dealing with other things. And I agree, we can't be keeping ESCOM here. They have to go and work. But at the same time, they have to come and account to the public, because they're dealing with public funds, not their own funds. Comrade Boy used to say, "Ayo mania, this is not your home, it's not your money, it's public money." So you've got to account to their public money. It's not your money, it's public money. So let us work together. We are not opposing you. We want to work together and actually get into the bottom of it. And we know that ESCOPA, without facing ourselves, we have turned around a lot of departments, a lot of entities, and we want to turn ESCOM together with you and actually start to say to us, this is where the problem is, how can you help? So, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Mine is a request, because I don't want to go through all 1,049 decimal cases. If Chairperson, we can be given of those, the ones which were related to financial matters, those disciplinary hearings, in general, but in particular, and and then, of course, just 75 exists, whether any of those were related to financial matters. and specifically whether any of those which are in that 1049 are related to the deviation.
Meet with them, maybe they could have been talking.
Yes, Chairperson, I was suggesting that we really meet, because indeed we're still going to meet them in the annual report in terms of the audit for 2017-2018. But I wanted to, you know, I've asked the question, Chairperson, it's a matter of interest. This SET consulting, what is, whose company is it? LET company consulting. What is that is doing at ESCOM? And why the original contract has been extended by 142%? I think that's what I wanted to get Jefferson. I was just saying, maybe we should prepare a trip to go to ESCOM, and we'll help them when, as they are working, and we'll get interviews the way we always do, and get into the bottom of other things. And maybe as part of the things, I'm not sure if three months, I think to me it's long enough. It's too long. And if we are going to be dealing with annual reports, we won't be able to do justice to the problem of what ESCOM is going through right now. It also could be, because I know that there's a problem of the supply of coal within ESCOM, if the CEO can send us the daily provisional report in terms of your coal supply, I think it's something that you have. That is available and that you can deal with. We'll see where we put it in. But I had a lot of questions. It's just that I don't want to start with Chairperson, especially because it's really general to me today.
Also appreciate the progress that you have made, and also indicate that you will spoil that day, because this morning we had CT, and we have turned things around that is in CT, and we are excited. But what have we done for the future? ESCOM would be a person of us. Again, as colleagues are saying, 3 months, and somebody is saying it's too much. What we are going to do, what I would want to suggest is, you go back, you look at the spreadsheet that was provided by National Treasury. And in the spreadsheet that was provided by National Treasury, I think there were also dealt with those issues. Where National Treasury said no, I think focus on those issues. And focus should be, you give reasons as to why you decided to go against the advice from National Treasury. And you also look at who was involved, the issue that was raised by that gentleman, the consequences, what happened that is to that, both on deviations and expansions. And so that when we meet here, we are focused, that is on those issues. Because what we want to do at the end is to try and assist you. We understand that you have a normal task that is in Eskom. And we're not going to leave you that is alone to deal with this task. We are saying we are partners that is on this issue. And Ross earlier on suggested, or Honorable Ross, am I charged? Okay. Yeah. He also suggested that where you need to involve my agencies, please just indicate that also that this matter has been referred to law enforcement agencies. But it does not stop there. And this is what we said to the CETA in the morning. You don't just refer it to law enforcement agencies and stand back. You will have to also make a follow-up to the law enforcement agencies in terms of the progress. Because most of the cases that we have as government, they are reported to the law enforcement agencies, but law enforcement agencies can't make a breakthrough because of the evidence that is there. Now, would strongly appeal to you as an accounting officer that you check with them periodically as to how far are they in terms of the progress. And if there is additional information that they need, you assist them with that so that we put finality on those issues. And on these issues that we requested, Chair, because the information is readily available. In the engagement, you could hear that you do have information. But unfortunately, you don't want to come up clearly and provide us with information, with that information. I would then propose that after looking at both these spreadsheets, you then come back to us. Yes, I agree, 3 months would be too much. We give you at least 1 month, and we have an engagement again that is with yourselves, so that we deal with all these issues. Because to be honest, there is no point in us now continuing with this hearing, because the answers will be the same. I've tried, by all means, to dig some of the information, and I came to a decision. Now, we are saying, you go back in a relaxed atmosphere, look at the issues that we have raised, and you then come back to us, that is on those issues. And my colleagues have clearly indicated that we are partners on this. We have tend that is other institutions of government. For instance, you look at the mafias that were in SAPC. When we went there, it was tough. We could see that there were mafias, but we managed to break through. We are busy with SAA. We are also going to break through. And we are saying with ESCOM also, we will definitely do that. But we can only do that if you guys cooperate with us. And let me also indicate to the other side. If you don't want to cooperate, unfortunately, we will have to take action. Because the thing is, we'll use the law that is to take some of the information. It is just unfortunate that the chief accounting officer, the buck stops with you. The PFMA says that. And if they are not going to be very strong and harsh, that is, to your officials, it is just unfortunate we'll have to buy that. And today we took a very positive, that is, attitude. That let's talk, so that we get as much information. I was excited when you came in here with big fives. I thought that, no, that is someone. But one is disappointed that, unfortunately, out of those fives, it's not what we want. You make preparations on something else. But, Chair, I think that would be my closing remarks. That let's meet again, if you agree, that is after a month, with the information that we've requested, look at the spreadsheet, leave where Treasury agreed. Focus on the areas where Treasury said no. Give us reasons on that and the issue of the consequence management. We'll be in a position to deal with all these issues. Thank you very much. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you very much, comrades. I think there was something that National Treasury wanted to talk to. On the testing of the market and all this other stuff.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify the issue that when we said they must test the market, it is rated in surplus and waste for expenditure. There's no way that can happen. And that's why it needs to be corrected. Chengwa, you must be assured, there's no way where we said test the market and Eskom never received benefit. Is that Eastern Cape project where they said if they've used the existing supplier, they would have paid 1.8 million. But now we said test the market, they paid 3.5. That can't happen. And Eskom knows very well. I can outline so many examples. The second one that we have is when they came to us and said, there's an existing supplier here, and they are paying 81 million to do this project. And we said no. Because in the absence of any competition, the existing supplier will go whatever they want. In that case, they tested the market. And they came back to us, they said, we have now a new code. The existing one still says 81 million, but the new code says 65 million. Then they must bring that money. I told them last week, I said, they must bring that money to Treasury because they don't want it. Therefore, there's no way that he said they would have saved 1.8 million because of us. They paid 3.5 million. I don't know, but obviously with this one, we're going to follow it up because if there was a proposal which from a supplier which says 1.8 million, and another proposal from a supplier who says 3.5 million, and they chose 3.5 million, then there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure which must be recovered from those who took that decision. That's why I want to clarify that there's no way where you test the market, because if you are there, you have already established your site. When you submit a code, under establishment of site is zero, because you're not going to establish another site. Because I'm new, I will put establishment of site an amount. And the total of the new one will be higher. That's why I wanted us to put that on record. So there's no way when we say go and test the market. And I can give so many examples because they know. In one case where they wanted to buy coal from the Geta at 1969 per gigajoule, we said no, go and test the market. We ended up paying 14 rand per gigajoule. I'm sorry, I can give so many examples that are there. They are aware of that.
No, it's fine. I think, let's follow up on that matter so that we're able to establish what the facts were.
Let me comply with that because.
Which
manager? Temptation was. Oh, this is that I would have understood this to be an achievement under this short way here. Because I thought Uchi would have gone back to the issues that have been raised. But I will comply with the guidelines. Because my issue is, did the person who was already on site bid or not? That's why I wanted to go earlier on. So, but I will comply with what you're saying.
No. I'm with you. I think that will be covered when we follow up. So the outcome of that follow up will be fuller, we treasure of that one, which will. you wanted it answered now. Now, at the end, we'll deal with that. Well, three things, CEO and always remember you are the team leader, not the CEO. Actually, the board is the accounting authority here. You are the people who should be answering to us. The first one is to just to remind you that the last time we met with Minister Mkhize about that little issue you are having with municipalities, we agreed that probably around September there will be a firm commitment on what will need to be done to concretely address that question. We have not let go of it. It's still very much part of our main, because we want to take it right up to its logical conclusion. But the meeting we had with him and the team was quite positive. It was quite good, which was the day after we met with the actual municipality as well. Secondly, I'm sure you can just give a minute and talk to that. I think Comrade Kuno was sneaking in a question about coal supply, because that then threatens the availability of electricity. I thought asked, are we running out of coal? I didn't think so. But I see the minister spoke about a policy that rules out nuclear for now, but also narrows the space for coal. I know this is not the space, but someone was talking about all sorts of things. I've not yet read it. I still have time to try and read it to understand the rationale. So when she raised that, I just thought, okay, something that definitely of current public interest. Now, the last point is about what we're dealing with today. I think, comrades, our frustration or the situation in which I think the board and the CEO must understand is that the sort of dead end we're coming is the reality of a breakdown in government. Because you expect that when everything is functional, when something wrong happens, what are your processes and systems of detection? And once you've detected it, what kind of reaction does it trigger? And I think what we're finding it's a non-response. When a breakdown happens and it hits you, there is no reaction. That's why when you come here, you just give us sequence of events. This is what happened, and you stop there. So after it had happened, what reaction did it trigger for management? That is what is missing. That is the issue. That's why I said the information that you've gathered throughout the weekend and which you present for us marked the starting point of the discussion. We start from there. Say, okay. So you found that there was a poor planning. Then let's start from there. There was poor planning. Then what? That's where, and if nothing has happened, if that poor planning had not triggered a response, then we're not going to consent. And I think that's where we are. And I think that's the point that everybody here must appreciate. That an engagement with us goes beyond a narration of what happened. Now, we are saying once there is an application for a division or expansion, starting point has to be a reasonable suspicion that, is this okay? Is there something wrong? There is something wrong around this. And you look at the employees that are involved, you look at the executives, that is, you look at the line, and you look at the companies involved. Take the security issue. I mean, there was one SOE where the security contract was extended 18 times. Not especially, you just need a lock kill. Okay, they have walkie talkies, they also have guns. But 13 times was extended. So there you are. You have this. I think if I got well, it has been, you are trying to unify from the scattered company. But in the document that you have in front of us, you are talking about additional five. But let me leave that and say, so you want to have one company that deals with everything, and then somehow you forget Gauteng. Yet your headquarters are in Gauteng, and you just forget Gauteng. And then what? then you must report to us and say, and then they made a mistake and left out Gauteng. And then we must say, oh, okay, oh, so Gauteng was left out, all right, so that's fine. When is it going to be rectified? Really? Oh, not possible. It's not possible. We're not dealing with a drunkard. People say, no, there's a blackout or something like that. We're talking about people are supposed to be professional. Who think, who play. It's not possible. So to just explain that it was forgotten, it was left out, and then this sort of thing, there's no way it would say that to us and then that's it. And for me, the moment you said that, the question that came to my mind was, what was this official going to benefit by leaving this company out so that it continues? It's as simple as all that. And then it raised the question, which company or companies have the contract in Gauteng that will benefit by this delayed nationalization of the security contract? What are these companies? Who are the people who are? Is there a way in which you can check and see if they were managed into bank accounts, there were renovations of homes, there were new cars, or there were holidays, all those things? So if those questions don't trigger in management and you say no, they just, then we're going to have a problem. So for that one, so for everything else. Catering, come to me. The rationale is, this company is doing good, we don't want to disturb it by going out on tender, get another company that may not meet the standard. So you go and ask for the next quotation information. And you seriously think you'll just tell us that, and then we'll say, okay, we'll take your part, we'll understand. Thank you. There's no way. There's just no way. If that is our starting point, then we're still poles apart. Because then we'll ask, okay, which company got the tender? Who is the official who? Where did this originate? Who sent this to who to say, I think we need to keep this company? Why? People don't do things for fish and chips. Money, big money that are involved. So that's why I would say you have to start from a reasonable suspicion, and your response when this thing hits you must then show us and tell us that you are alive to the risk. Because Eskom generates a lot of money, a lot of business. One of the risks is collusion, corruption. So if you don't start from there and you must still just discuss a narration of what happened and that's it, no, we we have not started to have a conversation. So I'm saying I think that's the message that we want to sink into the head of everybody who is here. Consequences. What has happened to this individual? I mean, don't we hear this? I mean, we're missing that today. They gave us a report, how many people resigned after the investigations and people were to be charged. Why resign if you have nothing to hide? I mean, it only heightens the suspicion that something is wrong. So if these things have not been done, when we meet, that's when we're going to have a problem. Because if you don't talk to these things, after these things happen, what did we do as management? Then we're not having a discussion, because then you're not giving us assurance that the wrong things are not happening under your watch. It is that assurance that you want, that things, wrong things are not happening under your watch, you are vigilant. And you start from a reasonable suspicion that something must be wrong. So I'm just saying, you know, comrades, I like that. There is improvement. But what the improvement did is that it gave us information of what transpired. But the information they're giving us is starting a conversation. And that's where we're hitting a brick wall. Because in the absence of action being taken, that is when something wrong happens, if it does not trigger a response from everyone, they were not going to have a conversation because they were not able to answer a question beyond having now the information in their hands of what happened. So accountability to us does not end with this is what happened in full detail. It is what you did after the narration. So I also feel, CEO, that I feel aggrieved that we still have not had the conversation that we should have. Because the issues we are raising are not merely for purposes of this meeting, but it is a mindset that we would want inculcated here in the day-to-day working of ESCOM. So, I think as Tim said, we need that italic with the names, with the charges, with the sentence, with the timelines. We'll check for ourselves what was financial related and what was not, so that they don't, we must decide what the thing was and what was not, then take it up from there. Secondly, I hear Comrade Tekane indicating which issues what to do. I think, comrades, let's give ourselves time. I want us, out of the 74, I want us to go and lift out a few cases. So I want to hear from you which one do we pick up, and then we want to lift out a few cases and say to you, here are these cases. Now, what we want from you is not what you did today, because you have the information. We want you to be able to say, here are these cases, and then go into them, and find and do the kind of things that we say we expect ESCOM to do whenever you are faced with this kind of things, deviations and suspensions, things that just is unreasonable. And say, look, within this particular time, this is what, on this one, this is the information that we have, and this is what we have done around it to try and make sense out of it. And these are the individuals involved. You know, like when we spoke about the problem of security, we're able to say this, 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 this. I see in one of your documents here, the creative manager is A. Mason, Masang. But he's the executive manager. Who are the people below him, right up to the person who was the project head? So that, because we cannot talk about their problems at Eskom. Because if their problems, they are caused by individuals, warm bodies. Who are these warm bodies? We wanted to come to that. You must put a name to an action or omission. To say, Kekan, who is the line manager at Mujupi? Who did this? Then we're talking. And then we'll ask you, then, okay, it's Kekan, so what? That's the only way we can deal with this matter. So let's appreciate here, we have to deal with details, not generalized statements. And here we deal with what killed the patient. The patient is dead already because the act is committed. So what we're going to do to improve the system, that's for the portfolio committee, that's fine. We are interested in what killed the patient. Tell us what killed the patient. So we go back and dig graves. So that tomorrow, everything can be fine. So that's how we want it. And we understand the little disconnect that you have a new board, you have a new CEO, so there will be that little period where you say, well, can you know, a little boy, whatever it was, and, you know, this, that. But once that kept from closed, there are many issues that you're dealing with, but it's key and fundamental to the very process you're having of trying to get things right. There must be a paradigm shift. There has to be a paradigm shift. We are still COPA until the day of the election. So we'll do our work until the last day. And to that extent, we'll seek accountability without fear, favor, or prejudice. And we're going to come back next year, and we'll come back as a group. So we're not going to disappear. The nightmare will continue. So to speak. But I think that's it. So I'll say I've had with my comments. I want us to go. We'll work on them so that we can make time again. And we'll make an evening time so that our other programs are not disturbed. Can I be fine, Kumbay?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to talk to those supply issues. There are problems.
We briefed the joint portfolio committee of the public enterprises and energy this morning around the coal situation. So the coal situation, we are not in a good position in terms of stockpile days. Overall, the system's got coal, but specific stations does not have sufficient stockpile days. 9 stations are below the minimum, our minimum, and 6 are below the minimum required by the grid code from a NERSA regulatory point of view. the reasons why we find ourselves in this situation is twofold. One is that we did not, as ESCOM, invest into cost plus mines. So the expansion of those mines has not happened. But we have, with the new board, reversed that decision, where we will now invest in cost plus mines and will continue to do going forward, so that the expansion of those mines can take place. And unfortunately, when you invest the money in those mines, the fruition out of that, where the coal will start flowing, only happens 2 to 3 years. The second issue is the issue we find ourselves around the Greener Power Station, around the Tegeta contract, where there was obviously a conscious effort to push all the contracts to Tegeta. When Tegeta went into business rescue, we found no supply for Ingenia Power Station. That and the other power stations that Tegeta was supplying, that's close to 8 million tons, 8.5 million tons a year that we now suddenly have to shunt. And what we've been doing to keep Ingenia generating the business from the other stations. That's why some of the other stations have dropped and have reached lower levels. And we pushed, even though they were under business rescue, we pushed them to give up coal at the old contracted price. We worked through our legal fraternity. We only managed to get 34,000 tons, and now we've given up on that. They're now going to liquidation. That's the easiest route. Go into liquidation, get some new owners to take the mine over. But in the meantime, we sit with no coal, so we have to take from other power stations. We've been working with National Treasury to go on combined sourcing, and we're trying to put new contracts in place. Two issues there. The new contracts that we're actually getting into place, it's very slow delivering because it's non-performance from the suppliers. The other concern as well is also the general market. There's no new mines opening, and the general price of coal has skyrocketed. Where we sit and we look and we plan to buy coal at a certain value, like 400 rand a ton, you find ourselves now buying at double that price. The export market is the one that's the main driving factor there. The export price of coal is well over 1,300 rand a ton. And that's one of the big issues we find ourselves with. So we are making a lot of efforts. We are still like living from hand to mouth, taking coal from here, moving here. So it's a very dire situation, but we are trying our best. We've shared it with the committee. We're even now resorting to move coal from a Madupi that's got a big stockpile into the power station in Mpumalanga.
All right. No, that's fine. I said public. I wanted to avoid that. But it's very tempting to want to get into us to go home and sleep. No, I'm looking at her because she's giving me that mundane look. No, you see, and we may not be able to have time to go into the matter. Because Coast Plus Mines, we believe Coast Plus Mines were finished. So, can't transform. Keep the order as it has been. That's the only route to survive. So, the bigger story that is being told, that's what I'm saying, and I might be mistaken. But that's what the ministry brings to my mind. So, all right, we leave it in your committee there. Put it out. We want electricity. When I go home to Malang, I don't want manga business about road shading and whatnot, buying candles and paraffin.
And I agree that we need to have another meeting just dealing with this and addressing the cost of mine, because that's when we're talking about land transformation, where we only have 6% of mines that belongs to blacks in South Africa. But Chairperson, there's another way that we've heard that can help with your, should I say, what you don't have, the reserve. And that those are the fines, which were told it's coal dust that is easily transported, and that's where the emerging businesses can come in. But it's being blocked because of this cost plus minus to say, if you don't use us, we are going to make sure that you have a crisis as a country. So I'm just saying, as we leave it at that, please let's come with something that can help South Africa going forward. Thank you. But I will talk to the CEO later.
Tomorrow, ESCOM will be saying we requested mediation because of
that. All right. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. All right. Okay. So thank you very much. We will get back to you so that we can do this matter properly. But we want to come out of the group. That's why we took the initiative on the municipal debt. We took the initiative ourselves because we want to come. And even this sleep deprivation that we are undergoing is to help us. So we are out there. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go to the hospital.